And we are back on the Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-U-R, at EJ is the real, at Jongy Football, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And if you missed any of the first 2 hours, all available on podcastarena.com. And, man, we've hit a lot of good football stuff today. I've not talked basketball yet. We'll get to that.
Or World Series.
Or World Series, which we'll get to as well. And I got to spend about 30 seconds talking about American Pharoah Saturday, too, because that was pretty incredible. But I want to follow up on this because let's just look. Okay, over the 4 years that Russell Wilson has been quarterback at Seattle, I'm going to throw a name, and you tell me the Seahawks would be the same, better, or worse.
Okay.
And I'm just going to go down the list of the regular season QBR leaders right now. And we'll see if you would consider him a top 10. And Jong, just so this isn't, you know, a one man's opinion.
So this is thing. Over the last 4 years?
Well, no. During that 4 year period, would you rather have this guy than Russell Wilson? Would the Seahawks be better with him, the same, or worse? And then, Jong, I want you to kind of be the conscience here so that AJ doesn't get into too much Russell Wilson hatred. Double Down says, do you think fantasy football has just totally skewed the average fan's ability to really discern a quarterback's real
football? See, that's the thing. Russell Wilson, very good fantasy football player.
But see,
although not this year as much.
No, but I think that's part of it. I do think people look at fantasy and what a guy does and say, oh, he's a great player, or they're the all he does is win guy.
Right.
And the reality is that it's a combination of things, and it's somewhere in between. And all right, so here we go. The first one on the list right now, highest total QBR in the league, which we've already decided is kind of a joke, but we're using this list anyway. Carson Palmer, number one. Better, the same, or worse?
It's difficult to say because Carson Palmer hasn't been healthy through all that stretch.
No, but I'm not sure he's a great fit for what they do either. I'm going to say, even though I think Carson Palmer is playing better this year, and I'd rather have Carson Palmer on the Cardinals, I'd probably rather have Russell Wilson on the Seahawks.
That's fair.
Okay. Aaron Rodgers. No
not
question.
Even a discussion.
All right, so there's one. Ryan Fitzpatrick. No. Here's one that's not that easy. Andy Dalton.
I like Russell Wilson more than Andy Dalton. Okay.
So far we have one guy. Tom Brady, two guys.
Two guys.
Ben Roethlisberger.
Three guys.
Drew Brees.
Four guys.
Eli Manning.
Five guys.
Matt Ryan.
I think they're about the same.
I think I'd rather have Wilson, frankly. Okay. Philip Rivers.
I'm not going to argue with you on that. Yeah.
Philip Rivers.
Philip Rivers to me is a little bit like Carson Palmer. I'd rather have Philip Rivers on your average team, like on the Chargers. I'd rather have Philip Rivers.
Yeah,
he's probably Seahawks. Russell Wilson's probably a better fit.
Okay, so it's probably too early to judge on a guy like Derek Carr who hasn't been in the lead. And I'd say the same thing with Bridgewater and Bortles. I think guys like Kirk Cousins, we can say no. But there's some guys down the bottom of the list that I think are worth bringing up. Peyton Manning.
Peyton Manning over the last 4 years, for sure.
Matthew Stafford.
No.
Cam Newton.
I think equal to.
I think I'd rather have Cam Newton.
Am I?
On that team. I think he runs. He's a very similar type of player in terms of he can run and pass. And I just think
he's a much better passer for sure.
Yeah,
I think he's much more physically gifted. He's much dumber. he makes bonehead plays. He's got he's like the big fast version of Matthew Stafford.
All right. Well, okay. So since we're not all in agreement so far, we have six guys that you would say they'd be better with. Alex Smith.
I'd take Russ, although that one's pretty close.
Andrew Luck.
Andrew Luck.
Okay, so we're up to seven. Ryan Tannehill.
No.
So, based on that, there's only seven guys that you'd rather have starting a quarterback for the Seahawks and Russell Wilson.
You didn't name Joe Flacco yet.
No, I didn't name Joe Flacco. Why did I miss Joe Flacco? Where the hell is he on this list?
Maybe he's not allowed on the list.
I don't know. Why is he not on the list for?
I don't know.
He's 27th. Okay, Joe Flacco. Okay.
Yeah, I would take Joe Flacco over him.
I'm not sure I would. In fact, I know I wouldn't.
Okay.
So we'll stick with seven. So, all right, back of the top 10.
Back of the top 10.
So there's not 10 guys that you'd rather have.
Probably
to
not.
His point.
over the last 4 years, probably not. But and that's on Seattle. Like if you gave me an expansion franchise tomorrow, there's probably 10 or 12 guys I would take over Russell Wilson.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a lot would depend on.
Seattle's one of the rare teams that isn't built around a quarterback. Like you agree, right? There's not very many teams in this league, successful teams in this league, who aren't built around a quarterback. No,
but you know what? The one thing he does that a lot of these guys don't is usually, and hasn't been the case this year, but throughout his career, if they're down in the fourth quarter, he's going to make a drive. He's going to lead a drive that gets them the lead. He's done that very well. And we didn't mention Tony Romo. I'll put Tony Romo on that list because he's hurt. He's not on there. So 8 guys.
That'd be 9 for me. So I would Russell Wilson would be 10 on my list.
Okay, 9 on mine. But that's with the Seahawks.
Right.
Now, depending on what other teams you want to look at, I don't know that it comes out the same, but I don't think he's going to be lower than 15 on any team's list. I wouldn't think. Anyway, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776, if you want to get in. And, now part of it, too, that we haven't really factored in is how much money some of these guys are making. When Russell Wilson was on a third-round draft pick salary,
that was brilliant.
I'm taking him over a bunch of those guys. Yeah. Once you start, now that you're being paid at that level, though, then my expectation for performance is higher.
Right.
As it should be, right? Theoretically. We'll talk about those Rockets.
Let's talk about the Rockets. I don't know. I have a hard time. I don't know about you, because I haven't watched a single Rockets game live. I've had to record them all and watch them later. And knowing you're about to watch a bad basketball game, it's so much harder to do than knowing you're about to watch a bad football game for me.
Because you know what? There's another 78 bad basketball games to go.
I guess so.
But five bad basketball games a night on TV somewhere.
But even with the, like last week when I rewatched the Texans game, I knew what was going to happen. I mean, I knew the Texans just got dominated. I knew it was going to be so ugly.
It was kind of funny, though.
It was a little bit funny, but it was still easier for me to rewatch a game like that than it was to watch a recorded Rockets game that I knew they blew it on. And listen, you know, I've not made it a secret that I am not a fan of this roster, and I think that they're in for regression this season. I don't think they're going to lose every game by 20 points, obviously, and I'm a little surprised that they've been as bad as they have been. But it's not like when I watch the games, nothing surprises me. James Harden taking a bunch of bad shots doesn't surprise me. You know, the one thing that I will say has surprised me is Dwight Howard didn't play because he needed to rest after playing one game. That's a little bit surprising to me. But I don't know what this team is going to be. I can't imagine they're as bad as they've been through these three games. But I think I have a hard time thinking that they're going to match last season. Maybe they'll do something in the playoffs, but last season's regular season record, because this team clearly has a long way to go before they mesh, before this talent comes together.
Yeah, Well, first off, I think regular season basketball is practically meaningless, especially this early in the season.
Yeah.
And I'll be the first one to tell you, I don't pay a hell of a lot of attention, and I certainly don't bet on it until football season's over.
Although it's hard. Listen, I just told you, the Thunder, the 3-0 Thunder, are 1.5-point favorites. Yeah,
I know.
At the Rockets tonight, who have lost all their games by 20 points. And me just being Joe Blow walking through the MGM Sportsbook sees that, and I just go and give them my wallet and say, hey, I'll bet you my wallet that the Thunder are going to win this game by more than 1.5 points. But I obviously I'm not Joe Blow walking through the MGM, so I'm leaving it alone and just watching what happens. But
yeah. It's a trap.
It's
a trap.
It's hard to imagine that's not the case, because this team has looked just like such a mess.
Yeah, I agree in theory, but in truth, I don't start judging a team until they've played 8, 9, 10 games, and I look at it in 8, 9, 10 game increments. So, I mean, yes, they've been awful for these first three games, but people love to overreact and let's fire everybody and let's trade Harden and let's do this. It's three games, man. If they're 0-10, then you've got some issues, and that's when you need to start looking at, okay, what do we need to do to fix this roster? But really, we get into this every year because, oh, talk Rockets, talk Rockets. There's really nothing to talk about until midseason. But, yes, they're off to a terrible start. They've been awful.
Well, and this is the game tonight is a game that conceivably they're supposed to lose, you know?
Right. Right.
So if they lose today, it's not like we're going to be able to come in tomorrow and go, it's even worse because this is a game they should lose.
Yeah, and it's like, okay.
And like they should have lost to the Warriors, should they have lost to the Warriors by 20? Probably not.
Probably. The Warriors should beat everybody up.
But the Nuggets and the Heat, those are teams that the Rockets should be better than them, and they're losing by 20. And that Heat game, that's the worst because they were blowing that team out.
Yeah, they were up by 20.
Yeah.
The real problem is getting blown out by the Nuggets at home and then blowing that game yesterday. Those are the ones that are sort of red flags. But you go out and beat a team you're not supposed to, and which if they do that
to me, the red flag is James Harden's shooting percentage.
But you know what? He went through stretches like that last year. He just didn't do it at the beginning of the season. There was a whole stretch there where he couldn't hit a shot. Now, the difference was some other people stepped up and hit shots. But they're working in some new guys, and I'm not worried about them, but I'm not really all that. Yeah,
feeling great about him either?
I'm not feeling like I need to go watch every game right now because it's freaking week one of the NBA season. There's 10 million games to go, and there's still football going on.
Yeah, it just James Harden, the things that worry me.
Well, Chloe.
Well, yeah, that's part of it, I guess. And now Chloe
the curse.
Chloe wants to bring Lamar Odom to a game. But 3 of 22 from 3? Or 3 of 32, pardon me, from 3?
Yeah, that's...
That's... I mean, you're banging your head into the wall.
That's beyond awful.
He's a 22% shooter right now from the field. He is a 9.5... less than 9.5% shooter from 3. Maybe you need to stop doing that. But that's volume scores. I guess you go through these. But it's ugly right now, man. Really ugly.
Yeah, and... The question is, how fast do you bounce back, or does this turn into something where, okay, he can't shoot, nobody else is adjusting, and suddenly you look up and you're 2-9, then I'll be worried. And that's not impossible, but I'm not anticipating that. All right, quick break. It is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, 713-780-ESPN, if you want to get in. And you have something you wanted to get to here?
I was going to hit up the World Series.
Yeah, we could do that.
I mean, unless you've got something else.
I actually had some more college football I wanted to get to, but we got time, so let's do your World Series first.
Royals won the World Series last night, obviously, and I was happy. I liked that team. I wanted them to do well, and mostly because I feel like the way they're built is the way the Astros should be looking to build.
Well, after winning the World Series, I think any team should be looking to build that.
Well, I mean, but, you know, there's teams that win the World Series like the Yankees do. And there's teams that win the World Series, you know, built like a small market team would have to build. You know what I mean? This is kind of what Oakland has been trying to do for a long time and just hasn't been able to. And Kansas City finally did it. They did it with a bunch of guys that they drafted for the most part. You know, I was looking up their top draft picks. And last year, Billy Butler was on this team. He was their first round pick from 2004. Alex Gordon, Luke Hochschaver, who got the win last night, Mike Moustakas, Eric Hosmer, Aaron Crow, who was on that team for a long time and finally moved on, and then Christian Colon was their 2010 pick. He's the one who got the go-ahead RBI. They have built this team from the ground up, you know, and then they had a big star in Zach Greinke that they drafted back in the early 2000s, and when it came time to pay him big money, they traded him away. And they got back Alcides Escobar and Lorenzo Cain in return for him. So they did it smart. They drafted a bunch of players who have good contact rates, and they're set up now for where they're probably going to lose Alex Gordon this offseason, which is a big loss.
Right.
But the guy they drafted in 2011 with the fifth overall pick is a guy named Bubba Starling, who, if I'm reading scouts, what they're saying about him, and basically they expect him to be like George Springer without the strikeouts, which, God, can you imagine having George Springer without the strikeouts, what you'd have? That's a gift from heaven. So if that's the guy that they have to replace Alex Gordon, they're going to continue, you know, to continue to roll, I would guess. And they're not doing it with ace pitching. I mean,
like the Giants beat them with last year.
Right, right. And they have Johnny Cueto on that team, who I guess for most teams you'd consider him an ace, but he didn't pitch like an ace when he was in Kansas City for the most part. He was a guy.
Yeah, he was a rental. He's
not but they've got a fantastic bullpen. They don't waste outs. That's the most important thing, and that's why the strikeout thing is the biggest flaw I see in this Astros team is that the strikeouts are wasted at bats. But great bullpen. You get it to the sixth, seventh inning. It's very hard to beat that team, and they're very good defensively, which so are the Astros. It's something I could see them turning into. They obviously need to make a few changes, but it kind of gives you hope that it's possible. You know what I mean?
Well, they're pretty close. If you look at it, they were the one team that actually had this team on the ropes.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good sign. I think overall, when we've talked about what the Astros need to do, the big gaps to me were the bullpen. And by the way, the Royals did what they did to the Astros to everybody. They came from behind. Yeah. And after the eighth inning, they were fantastic. And I think a lot of that has to do with the contact hitting and clutch hitting, which, you know, gets contagious. And once you realize you can do it, you know, you do it again and again, and that's what happened. But in their case, they've hit on their prospects, and that doesn't mean they're going to hit on the next one. Doesn't matter.
You're right.
How highly regarded they are, but the Astros are starting to hit on a few of theirs too, and they've got some guys down there that hopefully I just think the Astros need a more balanced lineup, more contact guys to go with the power guys. You don't need all of them that way. I mean, I think for Minute Maid, you want to have guys who can jack it out of the yard, because it's a homer park, and that's one of the reasons they had such a great record at home. But if you're going to be better on the road, you've got to be able to manufacture some runs as well. And I think that's tweaking. That's not making wholesale changes. And I think if they tweak just right, and they need a power arm in the bullpen too. I believe that. And I think starting pitching may be good enough right now.
The starting pitching is, I mean, the Astros starting pitching is better than the Royals starting pitching.
And I think over the long haul, I think it'll be it's going to be interesting to see who the Jays bring back. If they don't sign David Price, they're going to throw a bunch of money at another top starter, because they've got a ton of money up there. So I think that team's going to be back, and they've got a lot of those guys locked up for a while. And at some point, the Red Sox are going to spend a bunch of money. And
Red Sox are probably the team that's going to get Alex Gordon from Kansas City.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out next year, but I think they were the best team most of the season, and they were the team that was best built for the playoffs. And the difference between this year and last year is the Mets had the potential to kind of be like the Giants, because the Giants had two starting pitchers last year who just went nuts in the playoffs, which they do, and were unhittable. And the Mets had those kind of guys, but they weren't as good as Baumgartner was last year.
Well, I just think the Royals are a better team this year than they were last year. I think they were more accustomed to being where they were. You know, they didn't feel like that we're happy to be here kind of thing.
They learned from that run last year.
Because Matt Harvey last night, he looked a lot like Madison Baumgartner last year up until the ninth inning.
Yeah, and I know a lot of people were criticizing Terry Collins for letting him go back out there. I had no problem with him going back out for the ninth inning when your closer's already blown two games. Once you give up a walk,
that's it.
You got to take him out, right?
That's it, yeah. And once you put Kane on base,
I think you have to let the guy go out there and keep going. You give him a batter, but as soon as somebody's on base, you make the move.
That's the end of it.
Yeah.
And
even if you do that, I think dude was going to blow that save anyway, because he's, you know, that's what the Royals do. And they've done a great job this season. They were fun to watch, and it's glad to see him win.
I got an interesting stat, a quiz for you guys, just a very quick quiz. More strikeout, 100-plus strikeout hitters on the Royals, or more less than 100 strikeout players for the Astros?
I'm a little confused.
Not many guys on the Royals struck out 100 times.
No. So do they have more 100 plus strikeout guys, or do the Astros have less 100 plus strikeout guys?
I'd say the Royals have, or the Astros have less than the Royals have more.
Yes, the Royals have two players that struck out 100 plus times. The Astros had three players strike out less than 100 times.
Wow. So that's the biggest flaw in the Astros. They have to get rid of that. Yeah, it's almost impossible to win that way.
It's funny, though, but you say that. There's a lot of teams that have been built that way. And
not many of them win World Series.
Well, and that's the thing, and I think that's something you have to look at, because a lot of these teams will look at the strikeout as not a big deal, and it's part of their analytics and all the stuff that they're doing, and that's all fine and dandy, but I still think a balanced roster. And they may have those guys in the minor, by the way. They might have guys that make contact and have some power and drive in runs.
But when you get to the playoffs, pitching is so much better in the playoffs. If the Astros would have played the Mets, they wouldn't have had a chance, because those guys would have struck out the Astros every damn time up, because they just can't make contact.
That's where you've got to have some ways to manufacture runs in the playoffs. Anyway, we'll take a quick break. We come back and get a little college football in here. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And we're back on the Blitz. This is how sometimes I can be such a nerd. I started looking up the strikeouts for all the Astros' top prospects to just see which one of them might not be that way moving forward. But anyway, 713-780-ESPN. I want to get a couple of little college football things in, because two thoughts. First off, A&M wins, and Kyler Murray has a big game, runs the ball very well, and they get a win over a team they're supposed to beat. I didn't think they were that impressive, but I think he'll grow into that offense a little bit, and that should be your guy moving forward. I'm going to ask you, if A&M, they got a tough game with Auburn, but winnable.
Mm-hmm. If they play better than they did this week.
They've got to play better than they did this week. And Auburn's been playing just well enough to lose most of the year. But with the remainder of their schedule, the only for sure loss, I think, is LSU. They've got some swing games. 9-3, would you call that a success?
Yeah.
Because I would.
I would, too.
Now, the rankings came out yesterday, and this is one of those things that baffles me. Mississippi State, 6-2. Texas A&M, 6-2. Did I miss something? Did A&M not beat Mississippi State at Mississippi State? And they're behind Mississippi State in the rankings? And they both have the same record in the SEC? I'm a little surprised by that. More importantly, though, moving ahead, next week, I think, is a huge week for the
Mississippi State doesn't have a single win over someone that
wow. Their schedule has not been anything that impressed. I mean, they've lost the teams they're supposed to lose to.
But it's all about what have you done for me lately.
Yeah, and hopefully when the committee comes out with its rankings tomorrow, it won't be like that. But we're going to have our rankings done before they do theirs.
Why?
So we can't push it off tomorrow, so we can see how they match up, since they'll be doing it. They'll be doing the official first rankings. A couple of things. I look at the schedule. I think this game's a Thursday night game at Kansas State for Baylor. I don't think is a walkover, even though Kansas State has kind of gone to hell.
They are a mess. They haven't won a conference game.
No, and ordinarily I thought that would have been the first real challenge for Baylor. They are starting a new quarterback, but that one is not quite as exciting as the other one. I think TCU at Oklahoma State is, and that's an elimination game for one of those two teams.
And that's also going to have all the points scored.
Yeah.
All.
Every single point of the week.
Every point is happening.
That Oklahoma State Tech game was hilarious. Hey, and to be fair, it's also one of the reasons why the rest of the country looks at the Big 12 and thinks it's a joke.
Yeah.
When you have 70-53 games, it's the old whack. And imagine being Texas Tech and scoring 53 points in a game and losing, 52 points in a game and losing. Well, you do.
That's Big 12 football.
But I do think Okie State is probably better than people give them credit for. But, man, defensively, you can't be giving up 53 points. I know that's not an easy place to play.
And they were getting wrecked in that game. And they were. They coming up, they had the big tragedy, and it was a crazy week.
Yeah, it was.
Which is why I bet against them and lost, by the way.
Yeah, I bet on them and won.
It was one of those where I feel like I handicapped the game right and looked like it was going that way, but Texas Tech's just too bad on defense.
Well,
that's
the thing. I kind of gave Oklahoma State credit for being better than you did, and I'm really interested to see what they do against TCU. Also, LSU-Alabama this week, which
I can't wait.
You can't ask for anything better than that. And And really, just for the ACC, you got that Cincinnati at Houston game is going to be really good, and Memphis at Navy, with those two teams and those two teams trying to have a undefeated showdown next week. So,
and Kansas at Texas to see who the worst team in the Big 12 is. That's exciting.
No, crickets. But Auburn at A&M is not a bad game, and Ohio State, we'll have to see how they do without JT Barrett, who apparently can't stay off the sauce.
Oh well, that's true. Which by the way, taking the kid's scholarship, really? I understand suspending him for a game, and we're taking a scholarship? That doesn't seem right to me.
Yeah, it does seem a bit much.
What was the other game? Oh, Florida State Clemson's this
weekend,
too.
Florida State Clemson. So, I mean, this is a great weekend to, frankly, plant your butt in front of the TV and flip between games, because that's what I'm going to do.
It's going to be very, very exciting.
By the way, did you see Norm Chow got fired in Hawaii, finally?
Yeah.
And I'm really glad I went against my old Hawaii at home thing, but they've been so bad. It's like, they got to fire this guy. Man, that was one of the hottest names in coaching for the longest time.
It was.
And he was just terrible. But it's a really good week for football. I think Iowa just keeps winning.
Well, I mean, it's because they don't have anybody to play.
They get Indiana this week.
Yeah, they're going to keep winning.
I think Indiana covers the spread, though.
That's possible, but they're going to keep winning for a while.
And one game we didn't get to talk about, I got to tell you, and it'll reflect it in my rankings tomorrow. I've been real impressed with Clemson the last couple of weeks, but my respect for LSU keeps going up and up when I watch Florida just house everybody else on their schedule. And I know Georgia is not what we thought they were.
Georgia is – I'm trying to think of what the right word is. They are – I mean, I can't believe that there were people who had that team in the top 10 to start the season.
We all did, but because they had Nick Chubb coming back, and they're one of those teams that I'm just tired of falling for. Them and USC – and Clemson's been in that list, and now I've finally fallen for Clemson, and watch it happen.
It'll get you.
Watch it happen, because I'm finally believing in them, because I think this is a different Clemson team. But I thought the same thing about Georgia. I think the same thing about USC every year, and I'm always wrong. So,
but the fact that they kept throwing that quarterback out there last week, I don't know if somebody's in the doghouse, but and I know that, you know, listen, there's guys who. There's stuff that goes on in college where they don't want to. They don't always want to let you know exactly why a guy's not playing.
Right.
And I know that Georgia hasn't been that great under Grayson Lambert, but I mean, at some point during that game, when you realize what you're getting from this quarterback, you got to make a change. You had to make a change, and they didn't. So.
Well, Florida plays really good defense, and I'm impressed with that team. And somebody is going to have to beat a good football team to win the SEC championship, whoever it is that comes out of the West. That is not going to be a free square beating Florida. And I got to give McElwain credit for his first year there. He's done a great job.
Yeah, I think they're good. I still think that, I mean, it's hard to imagine them doing anything amazing with the play they're getting at quarterback. But
no, but they're, you know, he's good enough. And
he's good enough.
And that's really the rest of that team around him.
Well, considering where they had fallen to. I mean, I guess I'm not taking that into consideration, because this team had basically done what Texas is doing right now.
Yeah.
And have bounced back to be this. And, yeah, this is a really good team when you compare it to that. And their schedule for the rest – I mean, there's only one more game they should even be tested in. I mean, their remaining schedule is Vanderbilt at South Carolina, Florida Atlantic, and then home to Florida State.
And that Florida State game should be interesting. And I think this is where – I'm glad the rankings are coming out this week, because the next couple of weeks are when things are going to start to shake out, especially when you have all the high-profile games that we have this weekend.
Yeah.
I promised like 30 seconds of horse racing.
Okay.
And I'm not going to get into too many details, because I wrote a pretty in-depth piece on Saturday after American Farrier won about where he ranks in history. And if you're interested, you can just go check that out. But I honestly think we always get into this, is this the greatest ever thing? And I hate that. I hate those conversations. Unless there's times where it's really valid. And I didn't want to get into it until his career was over. But when you look at what the horse accomplished, he did things no other horse has ever done. And he belongs in that conversation. And there's quite the long and like I said, just if you're interested in it, go read the piece. I give you why there's things that he did that Secretariat and those horses never did or never had a chance to do. And then what he did after the Triple Crown, even with the one loss, was more impressive than what those horses did, because the Triple Crown takes so much out of you. But just a dazzling win, and one of the most impressive Breeders' Cup classics ever, frankly. broke the track record by 5 seconds. So that's an 80-year-old track, fastest they've ever run at that distance on any surface. And just a side story, congratulations to Mattress Mack, who won the Breeders' Cup Sprint with a horse called Run Happy. And very strange story, though. The day after the race, they fired the trainer.
Yeah.
Maria Burrell.
That's interesting.
And Laura Wohlers, who I'm pretty sure is McInvale's daughter-in-law, apparently wanted to send the horse to the track the next morning. The trainer said no, and so Wohler said she was taking over the training and that they had been thinking about doing this for a while anyway. But that's kind of a bad look and bad timing right after you just won the Breeders' Cup Sprint. But congratulations, Mattress Mack. Spent a lot of money on that stuff. I'm glad to see him win a big race, but that's kind of a weird story to tack on to the end of it.
All right, guys, going to tell you one more time about attorney Gary Trichter. And I tell you this all the time, law enforcement, they're going to pull you over. They're going to, it's within your rights to go out and have a drink with dinner. It's perfectly within your rights and within your rights to drive home afterwards. I'm not saying you should drive drunk. You never should. But law enforcement, they're stepping up efforts with these no refusal weekends. They can force you to take a blood test. And a lot of these tests are just designed to make you fail. And if that's happened to you, don't fret. It's not the end of the world. Attorney Gary Trichter can come and save the day. He's a DWI specialist, one of only four board-certified DWI specialists in the entire state. What that means is he's experienced in telling the truth about the police science involved in these tests to juries. He's experienced in pointing out the flaws in the science, in the breath tests, the blood tests, in all of it, all the inaccuracies. He's an expert in explaining it to juries. So if you failed one of those tests, DWI or DUI, you failed the breath or blood test, call attorney Gary Trichter. Put his number on your cell phone right now. Don't wait till it's too late. Tweet me in the middle of the night because you need help. Who's that DUI lawyer? It's attorney Gary Trichter, 713-524-1010, or visit him online at texasdwilaw.com. You'll find a lot of reasons why he's the guy you want to go with if you ever find yourself in need of a DWI lawyer. 713-524-1010 for attorney Gary Trichter. Guys, I've been telling you about the documentary about Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Well, guess what? The time has come. It's finally here. Tomorrow night, don't miss it, Kareem, Minority of One. That's Tuesday, November 3rd, 9 o'clock Central Time. HBO Sports is the best when it comes to sports documentaries, sports stuff. They do a bang-up job every time. And finally, this documentary about Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, revealing the complexity and genius of the NBA's all-time leading scorer, both on and off the court, will be available. Off the court, Kareem has spoken candidly about a lot of things, appeared in dozens of TV shows, and including he's done the movies, including his appearance in Airplane and Game of Death, which is Bruce Lee's final film. Written 11 books, a lot of people don't know that. Many of them are New York Times bestsellers. Really fascinating guy, and he is going to bear a lot in HBO's documentary tomorrow night. Of course, everybody knows he's the all-time leading scorer in the NBA, 38,000 plus points, six-time MVP, world champion. This is a chance to really dig deep inside the life on and off the court of Kareem. That's Kareem, Minority of One. HBO Sports presents it tomorrow night, November 3rd, 9 o'clock Central. You can see it. That's Kareem, Minority of One, tomorrow night, 9 o'clock, only on HBO.
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back. It's officially holiday time, and we at Gow Media are in the spirit. ESPN 97.5, our sister station 1560, and Neighbors Emergency Center have come together to combine our efforts to collect toys for tots Saturday. We're at Neighbors Emergency Center on Garth Road in Baytown from 2 until 4. Bring us your unwrapped, unopened toy donation and bring happiness to a child in need this holiday. You were mentioning Kareem. Game of Death is one of my favorite all-time under-the-radar sort of movies to watch when nothing else is on. Bruce Lee's last movie. I'm a dork for that kind of stuff.
Hey, speaking of that Toys for Tots stuff, can you pull up the Barry's Toys for Tots read that he did for... They played it on Houston Game Day this weekend. And Jeremy Branham wasn't the biggest fan of it, from what I hear.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Basically, can you find it? Or
let
no?
me go look for
okay,
it.
Okay, we'll look for it.
Well, we can do the dumbass report while he's looking
all
for
right.
it.
You know these guys who, like, go around and they want to, like, live off the land, live in nature, like, where there's no boundaries and no borders, and you just live free?
Yeah. I that's called a vacation for me, but I wouldn't want to live
right.
that way.
Well, this guy went to live in the Mediterranean. He wanted to learn about Mediterranean horticulture. And he agreed to work in an ornamental garden on a huge estate for 6 months, helping to grow crops for the local culinary school to use them in experimental Sicilian cuisine.
Okay. Not sounding too weird yet, but
all right. Yeah. He was sharing a cottage with two other foreign students, an American and a Canadian.
Oh, geez.
And one evening they returned from a foraging trip with some leaves they found on the estate, which they identified as chard. They were already cooking when I got in from the garden. It was late, and I was starving. I ate at least twice as much of the boiled greens as either of the others. Good meal, slightly bitter, but that's not unusual. Seasoned with salt and a little lemon juice. Went down. For dessert, they had fresh blood oranges, but I took one bite and spat mine out. It was moldy. The other two had the same reaction. But when we examined the fruit, they looked perfectly fresh. Rinsing our mouths out with bottled water didn't help either. They had that same moldy taste. We realized that they'd reacted to something they'd eaten. As we tried to work out, we became confused. Taking deep breaths outside didn't help clear our heads, and along with disorientation, I felt suddenly tired too. They had taken hallucinogens.
Oh, boy.
They kicked in long before they arrived at the doctor's office, the hospital. I was in the passenger seat concentrating on simply trying to stay awake when the road ahead of us seemed to narrow suddenly. I remember shouting, "Ah, be careful!" and grabbing the driver's knee and him looking at me as if I was mad. The girls felt strange, but not as bad as me. It took an hour to reach the hospital, but by then I was suffering muscle contractions through the lower half of my body. The doctors asked me what drugs I'd been taking. Not wise. If you're going to go live out and live off the land, you may want to figure out exactly what you're going to be eating. Culprit turned out to be a strain of mandrake, which is common in Sicily.
Mandrake's like from all those old movies where...
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm down with that. I'd like to try some mandrake.
Yeah, but you might want to know you're going to try it before you
try it. Yeah, and have just a little bit and not eat a whole bunch of it.
Did you hear about the Halloween party that the mayor of Lahoma, Oklahoma threw?
Did not.
The mayor of a small town in Oklahoma says she's sorry after her husband and some of his friends dressed in Klan costumes for Halloween.
Who does this?
The husband of Lahoma, Oklahoma Mayor Teresa Sharp, Carrie, was one of a few men dressed in KKK gear intimidating trick-or-treaters on Halloween. Pictures circulated on social media of four men burning a cross.
Oh.
At least two of them were men seen wearing the KKK robes. Please don't... I mean, if you're the mayor of a town, don't you, like, kind of say, hey, what are you going to be for Halloween at our party this year? Don't you...
I think I'm going to go as KKK.
I don't know what else to say other than I'm sorry to the community, I'm sorry to the public. She had initially shrugged off the controversy as a, quote, prank gone bad. It looks like it's going to be more than that. There was no cross that burned, Carrie Sharp told the news station. It was held behind the fire to look like it was burning, but there was no actual
that
fire.
That makes it so much better.
It was a very poor decision. I truly apologize to everyone for this. Lahoma, Oklahoma's got roughly about 600 people in it.
Mm.
Finally, what's the worst thing you could steal? Like, what's the worst kind of vehicle you could steal?
Worst kind of vehicle?
Yeah.
If you police were car.
No, that's close.
Fire truck?
How about a tank?
A donut truck. 14-year-old boy faces charges after police say he stole a donut truck. Pastry Perfection cargo van was stolen from a Jackson store. Van was equipped with a GPS tracking device, which obviously made him pretty easy to track down. He ran when officers saw him, but they found him hiding in the backyard of a nearby home. Officers found evidence in the van, including drug paraphernalia, alcohol, and a knife.
Not really a dumbass, but Saturday night after we watched the games, went to a friend of ours was hosting a big party downtown, and everybody was dressed up but us. And his girlfriend was dressed as Velma from Scooby-Doo. and there was a girl dressed as Velma at the bar, and he went up and grabbed her butt, and she turned around, and it wasn't his girlfriend. It was, and they looked exactly alike.
Oh.
They were both dressed as Velma.
Misunderstanding? Like, yeah, did it all...
No, it all got cleared up. Okay, it was all fine, but it was pretty funny. All right, that's going to wrap it up. We will see you guys back here tomorrow. Till then, stay sports, you bitches.